This morning, America's First News starts right after this. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Paid leave returns. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Thursday, November 4th, glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
House Democrats have reintroduced a paid leave program that had recently been removed from the party's massive spending proposal.
New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy won re-election in a tight race that Democrats initially felt would not be close.
With the economy and inflation heating up, the Fed will scale back its bond buying program that it launched early in the pandemic.
And on the personal finance front, the best money moves for November.
The pandemic has really accelerated spending in certain ways, and you'll probably hear me talk a lot about labor shortages and supply shortages, and that's really like amplifying all of the normal November trends we're seeing this time of year.
Adam Hardy at money.com on financial strategies as we approach the end of the year. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy has become the first Democrat since 1977 to win re-election to the state's top post. He was declared the winner yesterday in a race that ended up much closer than the polls had suggested before Election Day. Mr. Murphy fended off Republican Jack Ciattarelli, a former state assemblyman and Goldman Sachs executive. Mr. Murphy campaigned on his record during his first term, touting the legalization of marijuana and increases to the state's minimum wage.
We are a national leader in raising the minimum wage, in making millionaires pay their fair share to give working families and the middle class a break.
Mr. Ciattarelli criticized Mr. Murphy's fiscal policies and promised to cut state spending. The Associated Press declared Mr. Murphy the winner when he was ahead by about 19,000 votes yesterday. Mr. Ciattarelli was ahead of Mr. Murphy on election night, but the incumbent pulled ahead as more mail-in votes were counted. To Washington now, House Democrats have introduced another version of the party's social spending and climate package, adding back a paid leave program that had previously been removed. They're also going to include a measure sharply raising the $10,000 cap on the state and local tax deduction. It would now be $72,500. Democrats' loss in Tuesday's gubernatorial race in Virginia has added fresh urgency for the party to close in on an agreement. President Biden accepted no blame for the results, instead pointing on a failure by Congress to execute.
They want us to get things done. And that's why I'm continuing to push very hard for the Democratic Party to move along and pass my infrastructure bill and my Build Back Better bill.
House Democrats want to bring up to a vote in the chamber soon on the measure, which would cost around $2 trillion. But it's set to face changes in the Senate, where West Virginia Democratic Senator Joe Manchin has objected to the inclusion of a paid leave benefit. The Federal Reserve has approved plans to begin scaling back its bond buying program this month amid concerns that inflation could last longer than officials expected. Fed officials yesterday agreed to wind down their $120 billion a month asset purchase program by $15 billion each in November and December, a pace that could phase out the purchases entirely by next June. Fed Chairman Jerome Powell played down the prospect of an imminent return to raising interest rates, which rallied markets that had been spooked by policy tightening at other central banks.
We don't think it's time yet to raise interest rates. There is still ground to cover to reach maximum employment, both in terms of employment and in terms of participation.
Broad U.S. stock indexes notched fresh highs yesterday. The Fed cut its short-term benchmark rate to near zero. When the coronavirus pandemic hit the U.S. economy in March of last year, it held rates at that level yesterday. Dell Technologies' biggest business sale of the year has arrived. Step up your vision with top tech up to 45% off during their early access Black Friday event. Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business. Plus, get incredible savings on Windows 11 PCs, along with servers, monitors, and docks, all with free shipping. There's also special financing with Dell Business Credit. Get started by contacting your Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Hey, Gledger, with us. Welcome into Thursday. Inflation is about to ripple through the tax code, and the nation's mishmash of tax provisions means some people will be hurt and some won't. More from Richard Rubin, tax policy writer at the Wall Street Journal. Rich, what do we have?
There's a bunch of pieces of the tax code that automatically adjust to deal with that, and there's a bunch of pieces of the tax code that don't. And so in the years we've had in the past with 1%, 2% inflation, whatever, no big deal. Now, where you've got 5% inflation at the moment, that really matters. So if you're affected by those provisions that do get indexed for inflation, then that'll cushion you against, you know, having higher taxes. If, you know, often the provisions that don't change, that are kind of frozen in time from even decades ago, might pinch some people.
Wow. All right. So which changes are tied to inflation?
So the key things that are tied are the things like the standard deduction and the break points for the tax brackets, kind of when you move up marginal rate levels. And the IRS hasn't announced exactly what those new levels will be, but we expect that soon. And so those all slide upward automatically, and that'll shield more income from taxes, and that'll and those changes will, for wage earners, flow into your tax withholding and into your paycheck in January, because these are all changes that take effect for tax year 2022, not for the tax return you'll file in 2022 that covers this current year.
So that paycheck come January might look a little bigger.
Yeah, it might look just a little bit bigger. Now, of course, it's also the case that your costs are looking a little bit bigger too, and this is designed to sort of help accommodate that.
Got it. How about items that are not tied to inflation?
Yeah, so there's a bunch that are kind of frozen. The one that's one of the longest running ones is the $3,000 limit on how much in capital losses you can deduct against ordinary income. That's been the same since 1978. There's a tax on high income households' wages and investment income that takes effect when income hits about $200,000 for individuals and $250,000 for married couples. And they set those levels during the Obama administration, when that was sort of the dividing line Democrats had defined between who they wanted to tax more and who they didn't. And then they very intentionally left that there. And so that tax has expanded over time.
Hmm. We're speaking with Rich Rubin, tax policy writer at The Wall Street Journal. His story is called High Inflation Creates Tax Winners and Losers. What are you? Social Security, what's happening there?
Yeah, Social Security uses different inflation measures to adjust itself for the 2022 year. So benefits go up about 6% for Social Security. So that's faster than the roughly 3% change on the tax side. And then the Social Security payroll tax, the sort of income limit where that tax applies, goes up by about 3%. So there's, and that's based on a wage measure. So, you know, this, it can get very confusing. There's not even just one formula that the government uses to adjust everything for inflation. Some things are fixed, some things adjust at different rates.
Got it. Why is it, by the way, that Congress chose not to adjust everything based on inflation?
Sometimes it's a way of doing a stealth tax increase over time. It's a way of saying, all right, we're going to limit a certain break. We want to restrain it somewhat, but we don't want to do it pinch all at once. So we're going to let it bite people over time. So an example we saw for a long time was a million dollar limit on how big of a mortgage was eligible for the mortgage interest deduction. They've since lowered that. But for a long time, that $1 million was in place, and $1 million from the 80s wasn't $1 million in the 2010s. And it gradually hit more and more people over time. It was designed very explicitly as a way to, impose a limit, create a policy, but not have it be instantaneous.
Thanks, Rich. Richard Rubin, tax policy writer at The Wall Street Journal. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
School children ages 5 to 11 have started getting COVID shots as the U.S. enters a new phase in fighting the pandemic. This Michigan mom is thankful her 6 and 9-year-old sons can be vaccinated.
I feel relief. It's just relief. Like, it's an extra burden that's kind of been taken off.
Kid-sized doses of the Pfizer vaccine cleared two final hurdles Tuesday. Meanwhile, the U.S. has surpassed 750,000 deaths due to COVID, and more than 46.2 million Americans have been infected. The U.S. leads the world in both of those figures by a wide margin.
Number two.
New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy will hang on to his job after a nail-biter of an election against GOP challenger Jack Cittirelli. Murphy told his supporters last night he'll work to move the state forward.
Forward by rejecting the divisiveness and chaos that permeate too much of our politics. In short, forward living up to our Jersey values.
Cittirelli's campaign says it was irresponsible to declare Murphy the winner.
Number three.
The Supreme Court's conservative majority seems skeptical of New York's restrictions on carrying concealed guns outside the home as they considered the most significant Second Amendment case in more than a decade. The case could have a major impact on state rules for carrying firearms outside the home. A decision is expected next spring. The NFL will conduct an investigation into whether Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers properly followed COVID protocols and whether he will be subject to any punishments over the matter. Rodgers tested positive for COVID yesterday. He is not considered vaccinated by the NFL standards, but earlier said he was immunized. The Mayo Clinic is developing a breakthrough blood test that can detect more than 50 different types of cancer across all stages. Currently recommended cancer screenings only cover 5 different types of cancer and can only screen for 1 type at a time. So what are we ordering from Uber Eats these days? Apparently, bananas. Just in September, Uber Eats delivered more than 25,000 pounds or 12 tons of bananas in the U.S. Other most ordered items include French fries, pad thai, soda, and mozzarella sticks. The most popular cuisines ordered are Mexican, followed by burgers, Chinese, Indian, and pizza.
Bananas. It's never considered like it would be ordering fruit from Uber Eats.
I don't know.
I didn't think that was a thing.
I don't know.
Thank you, Jen. Did you know most of the seafood on display at your grocer has been thawed out just to look fresh? Unless you cook it on the boat, peak freshness only happens when it's frozen right after it's caught. That's what they do at Wild Alaskan Company. Wild Alaskan Company delivers high-quality, sustainably sourced, wild-caught seafood right to your door. Premium cuts, ready to prepare, easy to cook. Choose from salmon, cod, halibut, and more, with different specials to explore every month. And they offer a 100% guarantee or your money back. I got the Wild Combo Box and couldn't be more impressed. Each piece of fish individually wrapped and labeled. Plus, the packaging can be composted. Very environmentally conscientious. Wild Alaskan Company seafood is how nature intended it to be. Never farmed or modified, and no antibiotics. And right now, you can get $15 off your first box of premium seafood when you visit wildalaskancompany.com/Gordon. That's Wild Alaskan, A-L-A-S-K-A-N. wildalaskancompany.com/Gordon for $15 off your first box. wildalaskancompany.com/Gordon. Use that URL to let them know that we sent you. Thanks for spending time with us. As the holidays approach, life can feel like it's being fast-forwarded, but don't skip over your finances. November especially can make or break your money goals. Insight from Adam Hardy, reporter at Money.com, who's gathered some advice. Adam, take us through it.
I think November is just like a really make-or-break type of month in personal finance. I mean, there's a lot of holiday expenses coming up, gift-giving, traveling, and all of that. And the pandemic has really accelerated spending in certain ways. And you'll probably hear me talk a lot about labor shortages and supply shortages. And that's really like amplifying all of the normal November trends we're seeing this time of year. So I think the biggest thing that's going to affect pretty much everyone's wallet is the shopping season. So this time of year, folks can expect some pretty interesting dynamics at play here. So you might come across some shortages in some key areas, electronics, even like turkeys, alcohol, toys, pretty much everything people are trying to buy right now might be in short supply. That could be either due to labor shortages or, again, supply shortages. The companies just might not have them on the shelves, or literally they might not be able to find them somewhere in the supply chain. And basically all of that sort of boils down to higher prices.
Mm. We're speaking with Adam Hardy, reporter at Money.com. One of the things, too, is which is obviously important here, enroll in your employee benefits. And you say, too, you know, just check that same box that you checked last year. What is it that you recommend people do?
So I would say in terms of enrollment benefits and especially healthcare, folks' needs have changed over the course of the pandemic. Usually, benefits enrollment is not a fun time. It's paperwork.
Yeah.
People tend to, as you said, just check the box, get it done with as soon as they can. But really take stock of what maybe has changed if you haven't really been to the doctor, haven't needed doctor's visits or prescriptions visits. You might not need a super encompassing healthcare plan. And you could switch to a higher deductible one, which means you'd be paying, you know, less each month. The reverse is also true. If you have been going to the doctor more, you might need a more encompassing plan. So you're not footing that, you know, giant deductible. If you're younger and healthy, if your employer offers it, you may also want to consider something like a health savings account. Also this time of year, all of this advice pretty much extends to Obamacare, the health insurance marketplace. Yeah.
Finish up, if you would, on this with first-time home buyers, your point number three here. What do they need to keep in mind?
Again, labor shortages, supply shortages, that's affecting the housing market too. So this time of year, November, tends to be a slower season. Some, you know, discount-savvy folks might want to start looking now. But a new report from Open Door really shows like the trials and tribulations, if you will, of first-time home buyers. We're seeing that the market is still quite competitive. Home buyers are, you know, paying above market prices. Typically, they are checking like Zillow real estate listings, you know, almost obsessively. They're refreshing 7 times or more a day on average.
Oof, wow.
They are putting in multiple offers. Almost everybody that Open Door surveyed, literally 98% of everyone they polled said they missed out on a property they really liked.
Thanks, Adam. Adam Hardy, reporter at money.com. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. For a while, letting your facial hair go was the in thing to do, but what seemed like a good idea indoors isn't panning out in the heat, is it? Time to get back to shaving again. If one of the reasons you didn't miss shaving is the ridiculous price of blades, then you need to know about Harry's. And if you have known about Harry's and haven't tried them yet, now's the time. When I got my first Harry's starter set, I felt the difference right away. The 5-blade razor, along with the weighted handle, made getting an amazingly close shave effortless. The foaming shave gel with aloe is excellent too. The starter set comes with all that, plus a travel case, and right now, at a great deal. There's never been a better time to try Harry's. Visit harrys.com/deal to get their starter set for just $3. It's 100% satisfaction guaranteed. You've got nothing to lose. Go to harrys.com right now to get this special offer. That's Harrys. harrys.com/deal.
Taking the day's information and helping you make sense of it all. We're here for you every morning. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Glad you could spend some time with us. Welcome into Thursday, November 4. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. House Democrats revisit paid leave in their social spending plan. New Jersey's Democratic governor wins re-election in a close race. The Fed plans to end its bond-buying stimulus by next June. President Biden says the U.S. will not pay immigrant families separated at the border. Taco Bell today gives out free nacho cheese Doritos Locos Tacos as part of its World Series promotion. Jets and Colts in Thursday Night Football. And America's oldest mayor begins his second term at the age of 97. That story in about 20 minutes. For some families eager to get their children vaccinated, holiday travel is back on, at least for now, especially with the CDC recommending the Pfizer shot for kids as young as 5 years old. Allison Poley, travel reporter at the Wall Street Journal, says parents who had been holding off on air travel are starting to make plans to see family or take an ambitious vacation. Allison, what are you hearing?
So a lot of families with younger kids have been holding off on flying or air travel until their kids could be vaccinated. So the holidays are right around the corner. People are hoping that they'll be able to see extended family. So some of them might have plane tickets that they had bought. They're waiting to see if they could get their kids vaccinated in time. And it's looking good for some of them.
And some of the ones, at least you've talked to, didn't seem to have any hesitancy about getting their 5 to 11 year olds vaccinated.
That's correct. So survey data shows that it's mixed in terms of parents. So 27% of parents of 5 to 11 year olds said that they will get their kid vaccinated right away. And that's according to a Kaiser Family Foundation poll that came out last month. 33% said they're going to wait and see how the vaccine is working. But there are a lot of parents who are keeping an eye on it, and some are signing their kids up right away.
Explain what the kid family from Escondido, California is going through.
Yeah, so I talked to a family. They have a 14-year-old daughter who is vaccinated already, but they have an 11-year-old who has not yet been vaccinated. So they have plane tickets to Toronto. They're leaving December 19th, and they're going to visit the father. His name is Bill's family, and his mother has Alzheimer's. They haven't seen their family in over 2 years. But if their 11-year-old daughter is not fully vaccinated by the time of their flight, which is December 19th, then they will cancel. So they're just not comfortable being around family members and flying unless everyone is fully vaccinated. So they're trying to get an appointment as soon as possible.
Well, we're speaking with Allison Poley, travel reporter at The Wall Street Journal. Her piece is called "The Kids Are Getting Their COVID-19 Vaccine. The Parents Are Buying Plane Tickets." What other example stood out to you?
Yeah, and some people have said, you know, I'm not going to wait any longer. So I talked to Hannah Hall. She lives in Gulfport, Mississippi. She's going to Disney World next week with her husband and 8-year-old daughter. So she and her husband are fully vaccinated. They do think they'll get their daughter vaccinated eventually, but they're going to wait a little bit. She said they all had COVID and recovered. So before they booked the trip, they were thinking, oh, should we wait until the pandemic is over? Should we wait until cases go down? But she said they realized they just need to choose the time that works for them. They can't keep waiting and waiting. And they hope that COVID will be in a good situation at that point and they can enjoy their trip. So some people have been traveling, are going ahead with those trips, even if they're not necessarily waiting on vaccination.
Are hotels and airlines prepared, I guess, for a potential spike here?
Yeah, a lot of people have been traveling already, so I think they'll welcome back the people who were the last holdouts who had been waiting to feel completely comfortable traveling. But bookings for the holidays are tight. A lot of people are planning to travel this year, so if people had been waiting for the absolute green light to make sure that everyone was fully vaccinated, it's likely that they'll find high prices and limited availability this year for the holidays.
Thanks, Allison. Allison Poley, travel reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Coming up next, what to expect from stocks in the weeks ahead.
Hey, do you ever feel boxed in by your wardrobe that you have to choose between comfort and style? Well, the founder of Cuts felt that way, so he reinvented the idea of work leisure apparel from the ground up, starting with the basic t-shirt. The result is a shirt stylish enough for the boardroom or the broadcast booth. I love shirts from Cuts. They're the most comfortable, most durable, and the most fashionably flexible. I've worn them with shorts and sandals and also under a suit jacket. And now they've got another innovation. Cuts Always On Joggers are pants designed to never take a day off, even when you do. From working out to eating out, Cuts Always On Joggers fit you and the situation perfectly with comfort that never quits and style that never disappoints. They're the choice of elite athletes like Patrick Mahomes, Damian Lillard, and Bryce Harper. It's not just a lifestyle. It's not just clothing. It's work leisure apparel for the sport of business. Get 15% off your first order at cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's cutsclothing.com/Gordon for 15% off your first order.
Thanks for spending time with us. This portion of the program is brought to you by Indeed. Need to hire great candidates? You need Indeed, the all-in-one platform for interviewing, screening, and hiring high-quality people. Visit Indeed.com/credit. The stock market's record run is poised to gain steam in the weeks ahead, if history is any indication. The start of the holiday season is typically a strong time of year on Wall Street. An explainer from Jessica Menton, personal finance reporter at USA Today. Jess, give us some history.
So the start of the holiday season is typically a strong one on Wall Street, a pattern that analysts point to as an optimistic reason for investors to be bullish that the stock market will remain at all-time highs following a turbulent September. And November has actually been the best month of the year for the stock market, both since 1950 and over the past decade. And that's data that we pulled from LPL Financial. And people are kind of wondering why this is. And the seasonal strength is created by a combination of factors. And for one thing, the final 3 months of the year are typically the best for stocks, especially when you're looking at strong retail spending by shoppers during the holidays. That also translates into strong quarters for consumer-focused businesses. And some analysts also attribute the optimism during the holiday season to year-end portfolio adjustments and investors being on vacation for different holidays.
Got it. And also, as part of that, like October wasn't as bad as a lot of people thought it would be, right? Or at least based on history.
It wasn't. And while October is often considered to be a spooky month for investors, especially when you're thinking about the crashes of 1929, 1987, and obviously during the global financial crisis in 2008, investors weren't so fearful this year. And after the S&P 500 had recorded its biggest monthly loss since the start of the pandemic in September, the index actually rebounded nearly 7% last month to its best October in 6 years. And that had to do with a lot of positive signs when you're looking at corporate profits and earnings and the fact that companies are growing those profits again following, obviously, last year's recession.
We're speaking with Jessica Menton, personal finance reporter at USA Today, about November typically being the best month for stocks. You said, though, this year could be unusual. How come?
The big thing about this year is that the final 2 months of the year are traditionally obviously a strong period for stocks, but they could come with more risks than usual, and that has to do with the Federal Reserve, which is widely expected to begin unwinding its $120 billion per month bond buying program, and that is really part of its pandemic-era stimulus measures that helped stocks more than double from their March lows. And the recent disappointing growth data could potentially reignite a debate among investors about whether the economy is slowing as inflation continues to run higher than expected. So there are some concerns about, especially when we're looking at the recent third quarter GDP numbers, when we're looking at economic growth from July through September, following a series of obstacles, including a surge in COVID-19 cases, supply chain bottlenecks, rising consumer prices, and obviously the fading effects from federal stimulus measures, it did put some pressure on the economic recovery. But with COVID cases now following and vaccines and rising as people are getting more vaccinated, more economists are branding the weak showing of a soft patch in the economy as a still robust recovery from the recession that we saw last year, with a potentially healthier rebound projected in the final months of the year.
Okay. And history suggests that November actually through April is a decent period for stocks, correct?
It is. And what's interesting about it is May to October has historically been the worst 6 months for stocks, but stocks actually were very resilient this year. And if you're looking at the broad S&P 500 index, it's gained 10% since May. So it's definitely kind of bucked that trend. So people are kind of wondering, well, what does that really mean for this year and moving forward? And while some might view this as a failure of different seasonality indicators when you're looking at the stock market, some market technicians argue that this is a testament to how strong the underlying trend is right now. And when the market doesn't do something it should do, it usually means that that underlying trend is unusually powerful. And that could really be a bullish sign for investors as the market begins to enter this six-month period. So that's something investors should keep their eyes on.
Thanks, Jess. Jessica Menton, personal finance reporter at USA Today. By the way, the stock market closed at new highs yesterday after the Federal Reserve said it would begin reducing its monthly bond purchases starting this month. Dell Technologies' biggest business sale of the year has arrived. Step up your vision with top tech up to 45% off during their early access Black Friday event. Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business. Plus, get incredible savings on Windows 11 PCs, along with servers, monitors, and docks, all with free shipping. There's also special financing with Dell Business Credit. Get started by contacting your Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Don't forget, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook, or you can follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. You could follow me directly on Twitter as well at Gordon Deal. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The hazard lights may be blinking for President Biden after Democratic setbacks in Tuesday's election, but the president professes to see no reason for panic. After Republican Glenn Youngkin took the gubernatorial race in Virginia and New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy survived a scare from a GOP challenger, Biden said people feel overwhelmed.
We have to just produce results for them to change their standard of living and give them a little more breathing room.
Number two.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced in a letter to colleagues Democrats will add paid family and medical leave back into their large social spending bill. But soon after, Democratic Senator Joe Manchin called the move a challenge. Democrats had initially called for 12 weeks of leave, but it was cut down to 4 before being dropped altogether last week after Manchin raised concerns. Now Pelosi says 4 weeks of paid family and medical leave is back in.
Number three.
If at first you don't succeed, make Republicans vote again. That's the strategy Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer appears to be pursuing as he forced another test vote yesterday on legislation to overhaul the nation's election laws. For the fourth time since June, Republicans blocked it. The Senate voted against debating the legislation, with Republicans this time filibustering an update to the landmark Voting Rights Act, the pillar of civil rights legislation from the 1960s. The Pentagon says China is rapidly expanding its nuclear arsenal and could have 1,000 nuclear warheads by 2030, part of Beijing's ambitious military buildup. The updated estimate marks a dramatic increase from the projection reported in last year's China's Military Power Report. But China's growing arsenal is still dwarfed by the U.S. and Russia, who own the lion's share of the world's nuclear weapons. His name is Doug, and he weighs over 17 pounds, and he's a potato. A couple weeding their garden in New Zealand recently discovered something huge just below the soil surface. When they dug it up, they discovered an enormous and rather ugly potato that they named Doug. Doug now wears a hat and gets taken for walks in a small cart and is something of a celebrity in the neighborhood. The couple has reached out to Guinness to confirm Doug sets a world weight record.
Imagine pulling weeds and grabbing this thing. How does that happen?
It's very ugly. It is ugly.
Poor potato. Dice it, throw some peppers and onions on it, right? Slap a fried egg on it. Thanks, Jen. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy. Thanks for joining us. At 97 years old, Vito Perillo is at the peak of his political career. The World War II veteran just clinched his second term as the mayor of Tinton Falls, New Jersey, beating out three contenders in the nonpartisan election. Mr. Perillo is believed to be the oldest mayor in the U.S. He'd be 101 when his current term ends. The Washington Post says his first foray into politics was at the age of 93 when he was unexpectedly elected mayor to the first term. He knocked on every door in Tinton Falls, home to 18,000 residents. It's about 40 miles south of Newark. Mr. Perillo was drafted into the Navy after high school, subsequently spent 38 years working as an electrical engineer for the Department of Defense before retiring in 1980. His wife of 64 years died back in 2013. Although Mr. Perillo has a busy job as mayor, he appears to be a doting grandfather to 4 grandchildren and 6 great-grandchildren. He reserves every Wednesday afternoon for a lunch date with his 28-year-old granddaughter. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.